Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You can listen to Heart Living on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. You may also listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 radio network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Greetings. Thank you for tuning in. Our topic today is overcoming self-defeating beliefs and behaviors. This is a great topic, and I recently did a workshop on the topic, so I have fresh in my mind not only pointers that I want to share and information that we covered, but also even some of the comments made by the participants that we found helpful. So as a life coach and trainer, I found that most people struggle with self-defeating beliefs, old beliefs particularly. And you know, your belief system is whatever you hold to be true. That's one way to look at it. We all operate out of a belief system, but not just all beliefs, just the ones that, you know, you hold to be true. So most people do in fact struggle with old beliefs that aren't helpful. And these self-defeating beliefs influence their behavior and in turn will cause them to sabotage themselves. And that's kind of like the basic understanding. Now, these beliefs contribute to the behaviors that often take people exactly where they say they don't want to go. So there's often this inner conflict in what I say and what I do, that kind of idea. If you've ever done repeatedly harmful things to yourself, sabotaging kinds of things, you know, why do I keep doing things that are so self-defeating? Well, the answer is because you learned at some point to act and almost what I'd say would be called react in that way. And let's see, what does that look like? Well, for example, most of us have times in our lives we can look at where we create drama or have created drama. We act out. We lack willpower. And especially we may cling to the past, or especially if there were some kind of a trauma that was hard to get over, we'll often cling to feelings, making it hard for us to forgive someone and so on. And then in addition to those things, sometimes we just go for the thing that's not good for us because we decide we need immediate gratification rather than to sustain a kind of structure that would actually help you to meet your goal. You know, you want the good feeling right now. And I know I've done that, and I'm sure you have too. So in our show today, we'll discuss the types of beliefs that we hold that contribute to unhelpful behaviors. We'll talk about those. And we'll look at, like, how does a belief influence the behavior? So sort of belief influencing behavior scenario, how does that occur? And then most important, we'll talk about how to recognize, and this really is the key to today's work, the aspects of yourself that are what I call running your show. And there are three primary aspects that we're going to be talking about on our show today. And when you can get it straight what these three aspects are, you'll see that it's possible that one of those aspects is out of control and the other two really can't keep you, you know, from sabotaging yourself. So let's go ahead and get started. And we'll apply, of course, heart living principles and tools. So first off, to effect a change in yourself, which we're attempting to say we can do, and we're going to work on that, I think you have to have a capacity to be able to do what we say in psychology is to observe yourself. So in other words, this is a key to self-management. It's a key to self-improvement. And it's important to realize that this self-observation that we're talking about, it's not the same thing as self-criticism or what even could be termed self-judgment. We're not saying you need to, you know, have this inner critic beating you up or anything like that. In fact, we're suggesting that you not do that. That's totally unhelpful. So self-observation is really just a consistent monitoring of your performance by yourself. You know what you want to do. You know what you have set out to do. You know what will probably trip you up or not. And you're just observing hopefully impartially, you have this aspect of yourself that can observe you to help you to monitor your performance. And this monitoring of your performance, how do you do that, or what's that like? Well, it involves having a kind of reflective consciousness. So you could say that you could stand back and witness your own behavior, and this is another key, you could witness the results of your own behavior. So you're not acting like somebody's doing something to you. You're actually creating your behavior in your life. Or we could say you're living more by design this way than by default. You know, I don't know why I did that. Oh, gosh, I did that again. And it really means that you're just willing to observe and let go of any counterproductive behavior and, you know, choose a better way. That's what we want you to do. So we're going to start today with some of what I had the class that I recently taught. I said, let's come up with some common irrational and sort of self-defeating beliefs, because these were the ones, I had a few that I brought to the class that I think many people I have worked with have, and the class itself came up with others. But let's look at some of those self-defeating beliefs. And you can kind of, in your mind as we go through these, say, yep, I got that one, or maybe not, and so on. So one of the beliefs that several people felt was that, you know, you should be liked or approved of by almost everyone. So if somebody doesn't like you or approve of you or suggests that you're not doing something well or whatever, you get to the point where you approve yourself. So you don't take it personally. Instead, you just kind of say, okay, you know, I understand that. That's okay. And so, you know, you should be liked or approved of by almost everyone. Well, that can't really happen. We know that. But that's something people believe. And they don't mean to, but they just believe it, and it affects their behavior because they'll people please, or they'll, you know, cut off a part of themselves to stay present with somebody else and so on. Things should always, here's the second one, things should always be the way you want them to be, and it's awful or it's just plain not okay if things aren't like you want them to be. Now, that's pretty general, but quite frankly, when we get into things should always be the way you want them to be, well, you know, that isn't how life functions. You know, that's how life operates. And it's not how most things function. And actually, it's more the norm that it not be the way you want it to be. And if you're wanting it to be a certain way, you might, in fact, be inflexible. And the less flexible you are, the harder it is for you to accept. And you'll start getting very resistant about what's going on in life. You know, I don't want that to happen, and just kind of dig your heels in and then stay stuck. So that would be something to let go of. This is another one that I thought was really interesting. To be liked or worthwhile, you have to be good in a lot of things, like all things, as somebody said in the class. So to be liked or worthwhile, you have to be good in all things. Well, we know that we have certain friends, for example, who are very good in a certain area and not in another, and another friend in another, and so on. So, no, we don't have to be perfect. You know, you don't have to be perfect. Some people feel like if there's a significant past event that you just cannot change, that everything right now and in your future will depend entirely on it. Like, in other words, that past event that you can now not change is going to be dragged into your present and future such that it tends to squander the energy and the opportunities and so forth of the present. So you've got to let go of the past. Here's another one about the immediate gratification. Everything you do has to have an immediate payoff. Now, if you believe that, or that is even not a thought process you operate out of, but somehow you set things up that way, most things that are worth waiting for don't have immediate payoffs. So, you know, you really want to look at that, because that would get you caught in probably a spiral of behaviors that just flat out don't serve you. And there's another one, and I'll even talk more about this later on the show. Somebody came up with, if there's a chance that anything can go wrong, you have to worry about it. Well, of course there's a chance that anything can go wrong. And some people worry in advance because, you know, they're afraid if they don't worry, then it'll happen. It's almost like worrying keeps it from happening, which if you know anything about manifesting, you know that's the opposite. So, again, I'll talk about that more at the end of the show. Sometimes people feel that they can't rely on their own judgment to make a decision, that they have to think it through a million and one times before they do decide, because it's almost like, what do they say, analysis paralysis, because if they make the decision, then they're stuck. But actually, by not making a decision, they often make that decision. And, you know, in essence, they're still making a decision. It's probably a less thought-out one or action-oriented one. So again, these are just a few of the common irrational and self-defeating beliefs that in turn affect your behavior. So the next thing I want to talk about, and this will fit now that we've gotten some of the beliefs, and I'm sure you have others that you've thought of that were unique to you, but next it would be important to look at what we call in, again, in this kind of psychology, the parts of you. Okay, so it's important to recognize that each of us has aspects of ourselves, and it's the aspects of ourselves that do what we talked about when we started the show today, you know, act out, create drama, don't forgive, self-sabotage, and all of that. So these aspects of ourselves. And I guess to really put the foundation on this, it's important to understand the various aspects of yourself so that you can begin to see how they contribute to the self-defeating beliefs and behaviors. And there are basically three overall aspects. And the first is your inner child. Now, you've heard of your inner child, and it usually represents your emotions and kind of your primal needs. And so we say that, you know, we want to heal the inner child who may not have been attended to when you were growing up and all of that. So the inner child is something that's a pretty common, I think, idea that many people understand. When you just mention inner child, we know that's that little pure, innocent essence of you, okay? The one they understand less is the next one, so the inner child's one aspect. Second aspect that's extremely important to understand is your outer child. And there was an author, Susan Anderson, who created the I don't know if she actually created the concept, but I know she wrote a book about it. And she said it's critical to understand your outer child because your outer child really acts out and represents those self-defeating behaviors. And again, we'll look at that closely so you can get a handle on that. And usually, I know Susan Anderson would say the outer child is usually running the show. So the inner child's kind of sitting back, probably getting ignored again, and the outer child's running the show. And if you think of the outer child and the inner child as twins, they've just got very different personalities and behaviors. And, you know, that's going to be helpful for us to evaluate. Now, we can manage the parts of our personalities that act out, and then we have to allow the third aspect. There are three, inner child, outer child, and this third one is the adult. So there's an understanding or belief that we have an adult in us that would intervene and eventually over our lifetime grow into a responsible caregiver of ourselves. And this adult is able to parent, if you want to call it that, the inner and the outer child. But those three are the three parts of you, of each of us, actually. Now, in addition, we know that each of us created this belief system, which I mentioned is comprised of all the beliefs that you hold to be true, because these beliefs will affect your behaviors. And I want to be really clear that you know that we can change our belief system at any time as we gain new insight, and we can adopt new behaviors that better fit our new insights. And in turn, we can integrate the three parts of ourselves that I mentioned a moment ago and, of course, create new life results. So let's talk more, I think, at this point about the inner and outer child, because this is where I feel like people found in the class that it was extremely helpful. Now, I'll start with the inner child and just talk a little bit and focus more on the outer, but I definitely want to start with the inner. So the inner child is a concept. It was developed by a number of psychologists. One in particular who did the most with it is John Bradshaw. And John Bradshaw has written a number of books about your inner child. And according to John Bradshaw, your inner child could be considered your emotional core. And it would be seen as, you know, the innocent, vulnerable part of your personality, kind of the needy part of your personality. And this is the part of you that would love to be held and loved and maybe didn't feel he or she was held and loved and so on. So that's the inner child, the emotional core. And Dr. Carl Jung, a famous Swiss psychiatrist, referred to a similar concept. He called the inner child your divine child. And Emmett Fox, who's a well-known author, called it the wonder child. And yet another famous author, Charles Whitfield, considered it to be called the child within you. So this inner child, the most common term, again, John Bradshaw, the inner child represents your pure emotional qualities or essence that consists solely of feelings and needs. So that's the easiest way to describe this inner child. And you want to obviously help this child, heal this child, love this child. Now let's look at the outer child. Very, very different concept. Well, the outer child is considered the part of your personality that acts out your inner child's feelings. So if your inner child's feeling needy, the outer child will act it out. But the outer child acts it out in self-defeating ways without giving you, the core you, the adult self, a chance necessarily to intervene. So do you see how this is set up? We've got this inner child, this emotional core that's feeling certain emotions, such as, let's say, neediness, and you've got the outer child who's going to act out some self-defeating way to get the need met. And the adult self, if the adult within you is not, for example, resourceful or a good parent, the adult self won't be able to parent that outer child, won't be able to control that outer child. So Susan Anderson would say, as I understood her material, that the outer child is responsible more or less for your misbehavior. Okay, that would be another way to look at it. And it's the outer child, not the inner child, who typically stuffs the inner child's feelings by substituting the feelings, or the way to meet the needs of the feelings, substitutes the feelings for pleasures, such as, you know, food and alcohol and so forth. So addictions, for example, would be connected to the outer child. So again, just so we get it straight, there are three of you, okay, three aspects: the inner child, outer child, and the adult self. Now back to the outer child for a moment. So this outer child term has been coined by psychologists and has become recognized as universal, since it's believed that we all have primal feelings that drive our defense mechanisms and our reactionary patterns, and that is what the outer child does. So, you know, the outer child, think of it as this little misbehaving child within you, is going to manifest outwardly, okay, manifest outwardly what the inner child is going to feel inside. Now, if your inner child experiences abandonment, as an example, then your outer child may act out inappropriately and even defensively because of the feelings the person, you know, the individual's feeling about abandonment. So in order to work with the outer child, you've got to be able to identify and recognize the behavior of that outer child in your life. And you'll know how this would work, as I said earlier, if you've ever hindered progress toward a goal, you know, you thought you really wanted to achieve it. You had your conscious mind, let's say, set on achieving that goal, but yet you couldn't understand why you hindered the progress. Well, it's your outer child at work. That is what they would say. It's your outer child at work that's causing that. So the inner child is the feeling. The outer child is acting out the feelings most of the time inappropriately. And what drives this outer child would be immediate gratification. I need to have a quick fix, immediate gratification. And almost a kind of substituting of self-indulgence for self-nurturance. So instead of nurturing myself, I'm going to indulge myself. So that, again, would be the work of the outer child. And the outer child, as you can imagine, can create lots of relationship issues, just lots of relationship issues. And, you know, I thought about it one day, and I thought, so what's going on with that inner adult when the outer child's in control? It's kind of like if you've got a very permissive inner adult, then you don't have somebody who's necessarily parenting that outer child well. Instead, you're letting the outer child have her way. And the inner parent, it's almost like saying the inner parent's not home, okay? But we'll look a little more at that to make it clearer. So, you know, the inner child, again, is fearing being abandoned. The outer child's attracted to people who are unavailable. Well, bingo, you're going to get abandoned again, see? So the inner child, let's say the inner child is having a need for love, wanting to be loved. And then the outer child may act out in a very needy way and, again, attract the wrong people. So you'll see how the outer child would sabotage the need of the inner child. The other thing about the outer child, as I read more about it and understood it, is the outer child is connected to feelings or behaviors of power and control. So, you know, I can't let this happen. I have to be in control. And the outer child may get you to act out by falling back into, you know, an old habit just when you're making progress. You know, you've set your goals, you're going to make progress, and bingo, the outer child steps in and just recreates an old habit. So the outer really is kind of an embodiment of defense mechanisms that you may in fact have. So now you know more about the inner child and the outer child, and I want to now talk more about the adult self. So the way they actually, in one of the books I read, I can't remember exactly, but this is something like it. It said if your outer child is a horse, the adult self is the trainer. So, you know, if you've got a wild horse, the trainer might not be on the horse. So one psychologist actually said, you know, the outer child is kind of you on autopilot with a mission to hijack your own best interests. And this kind of thing, of course, will keep you stuck in old patterns, too. So adult self. Well, you've got to gain awareness by owning the outer's behavior. So the adult self almost has to sit the outer child down and say, let's take a look at what's been happening. What have you been doing that's causing you not to reach your goals? Okay? And the behaviors of this outer child can be very automatic, like, you know, a mechanism of habit formation. So it will be very critical to sit down and go, you know, what have I been doing? What actually is going on? Not to let yourself continue to either be on, as we said, autopilot or hijack yourself. Just wait a minute. What is going on here? What's actually happening? What have I been doing? And the behavior of the outer child, this is kind of interesting too. They say that it's consider the age of that child is about 10 to 13, you know, somewhere in that age range. And it often will act a lot like you were at that age, or an out-of-control child at least would have been at the ages 10 to 13, wanting to rebel, you know, not wanting to follow the rules necessarily, wanting to goof off, that type of thing. So, again, the inner child's feeling, the outer child's acting out, feelings reactively, and the adult self is really in charge of nurturing the inner child, parenting and disciplining the outer child, and further in an environment to help you achieve your goals. So some of the outer child's qualities, how do they sabotage? Well, they love distraction. You know I need to do X, Y, or Z, so I think I'll do this instead. Often doesn't like to compromise either. You know, that would be a feature of the outer child, doesn't like to compromise. Sometimes it's said the outer child likes to blame, and it could even be to blame yourself, but nonetheless to you know, play the blame game, as the saying goes. We said once whatever it wants now, and this is interesting. This was a bingo in our class that day, because the outer child often likes to get rather than to actually have. It's like they need immediate gratification, which means they may buy things they really don't need, but there's something in the acquisition. And then when they actually have it, they don't necessarily, you know, want it, or at least have the same relationship to it. It's almost the acquisition, the acquiring of it, that's more important. They may also remember the 10 to 13 age, you know, kind of it's my way or the highway. I want it to be easy. I want it to be my way. And may even act out. They may throw a temper tantrum. This, again, would be characteristic of that outer child. So how do you make positive changes given the kinds of things we've been talking about? Well, remember I said your adult self has to deal with or parent the outer child. And you'll want to begin to separate feelings from behavior. So even though I'm feeling, let's say I wake up and I'm thinking I don't want to go to the gym, and I know I'll feel better if I go. So even though I'm feeling like I don't want to go to the gym, if I look at the behavior of going to the gym or not going to the gym, if I go to the gym, I'm going to end up feeling better. Or let's say I eat the wrong thing that's full of sugar, and an hour later I have a complete, you know, I go from a sugar high to a complete drop. So if I can look at what the behavior is going to yield, then I usually will choose a better way. But most of the time, we don't look at the behavior at all, or we don't anticipate what the outcome. We'll just act on what the feeling is at the moment. So let the adult self do a little more parenting and disciplining. And this involves also, for some people, it's like breaking through denial. And, you know, sometimes people will remain in denial about something they need to change because it's always been that way, or they've always done it that way. So put your adult self, I guess, in the driver's seat, you know, of your life. And in doing this, the adult will hold awareness, and that will help to strengthen your discipline and your structure. So, you know, examine the behaviors, decide what part of an action relates to the outer, the inner, and the adult self. And then if you know that the adult should be in control, okay, then the adult can say, all right, I'm going to make a different choice right now. So remember we said when we started that we want this observing sort of energy and behavior happening. And if you're an observer, you're not critical. You're just saying, I see a bigger picture here, and I realize that when I've done this five other times, I haven't had the result I was looking for. So I'm going to do it differently now. Okay, it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, go to dreamvision7radio.com. We'll be back for further tips on overcoming self-defeating beliefs and behaviors. Thanks so much for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you will improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through the doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute, and our topic is overcoming self-defeating beliefs and behaviors. So before our break, we were talking about the idea that you want to have your adult self in the driver's seat of your life, and that by holding awareness about the things we've been speaking about today, you would be strengthening and having a resourceful adult within you who could, again, be that observer that we were hoping for. So again, if you have a behavior that you know isn't serving you, and in class that day that I taught, so many people had behaviors that they talked specifically about, and these ranged from one person told me she had created kind of a hostile dependency with her son. Like she did so much for her son, she overfunctioned, but he had a hostile dependency. You know, he was dependent and hostile at the same time. So she knew her need to be in control to make sure he didn't make a mistake, and all of that was not only counterproductive for her, but for him too. So we looked closely at what is her outer child doing by needing to constantly, you know, be in a control, what appeared to be a controlling adult. So, you know what the adult feature is and have the adult make a different choice. And again, the adult self knows that the outer child might throw a tantrum, might resist, do the opposite behavior, you know, whatever it is. But the adult is particularly observant and sets up a structure that helps to keep the person safe and resourceful and doing what it is that he or she wishes to do. So let's see. As your adult self, you know, you're in control, but for the good of your higher self. So when you come up with an intention or a goal, you would then try to create a plan and, again, actually set up a structure. And then you want to be, once you set up a structure, you want to be clear and realistic and specific. And, you know, don't worry, even if you have to take baby steps to get there, better that you be slow and deliberate than that you, you know, not stay on your plan, and that you, you know, you definitely want to be completely aware of what you're trying to achieve. So I'm going to give you five steps, and we call them five steps to create change. And what I had individuals do in the class as an exercise, I told them to visualize an end result. You know, specifically, what is it I want to do in the future? What do I want to create? And sometimes it was create an image of yourself like a year from now or some decided time frame. Then, after they had written that down and described themselves or their goal, then I said, the next step you want is to be very clear. So what goals did you have to set to achieve this end result? So end result described, then clear goals. Third step was to be realistic. And by be realistic, people wrote down identifying any obstacles that they would have to overcome in order to achieve the goals and have the end results. It was kind of like working backward, really. And then we said they had to know the plan. So, you know, imagine the steps that you must have taken behaviorally to overcome the obstacles and to make those goals a reality. And keep it kind of in your mind as a disciplined behavior with your outer child in check. And finally, we said, you know, really feel good. Imagine how wonderful are you going to feel about this change that you're creating through these five steps. So, again, just something to share that you may, in fact, find beneficial to yourself to use as an exercise. I used as an example myself, and I'm going to quickly do that today to help you. And I'm writing a book, and I've been writing the book for over a year, and I have written three other books in the past. So it's not as though I don't know the process of writing a book. It's that I had to set a structure that allowed me to actually implement that into an extremely busy schedule, because my work is so busy during the week and even on weekends that it's hard to find the time to devote to that project called my book. So when I visualized, I really visualized my future as the author of that book, whatever that book is, and how the book would allow me a certain revenue, because previous books have, and more creative time versus more labor-intensive work time. So that's how I saw the end result. So then I had to be clear, and I came up with steps, and I set aside time in my planner to write 5 hours a week. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, that is what I had to do, because that's about the amount of time I would have on a weekend. And then I had another set of steps. I always like to light a candle when I do my work that is the writing of my book. And I envisioned myself with the structured hours. When would I be doing that? Put the time frame in my book. And I decided on an end deadline for my book to be submitted. And I needed to research, you know, like who would be an agent to approach, how about the writing of the actual proposal and so on, how to get that going, and setting a deadline to submit it to someone. That was the be clear. Now, be realistic. What would be the obstacles? Well, I would be very tired and overworked. I usually am. And even though I enjoy what I do enormously, I was thinking usually in an evening, I work all day from basically from 8 to 6, so I would be unlikely to want to go home and write. And so I had to get rid of what I call my all or none philosophy. And that's an old habit. You know, if I can't really write a lot about it, why I can't write at all? I can't get going in an hour because then I couldn't stop, that type of idea. Well, that's really something I have felt in the past, but that doesn't have to be my truth. So, and also I keep distracting myself. I've done that before with other work ideas. Like I have other programs, so I'll start planning the other programs, which needs to be done, but not when it's during the time that I've set aside for the book. And I know you get the concept. And then finally, just I knew that my obstacles would be to stay focused and just really stay focused with discipline on my intention. Then four, know the plan that I mentioned. You know, just start today. Imagine the steps, how I'm going to overcome the obstacles, how happy I'm going to be at the end of the year when it's all done, and how good I'm going to feel. So that, again, is just a concept for helping you to do the same. So now let's look at tips that I call, you know, working with this outer child. So, you know, what causes us to have these what I call sabotaging moments or behaviors with the outer child? Well, believe it or not, most people don't like change, and most people try to protest or talk themselves out of change, even if they know the change will lead to something better. They'll still do that. And the outer child will often respond with a worse behavior if your adult in you becomes too confrontational, you know, about its pleasure. And so it'll probably sabotage itself even more. So you may have to actually do what's called sidestep the outer child's resistance at first by showing the outer child what's to be gained. So, you know, if we do this new behavior, just be like having a little child inside of you that's out of control. So if we have this new behavior, you know, remind him or her of this new behavior. And this is really honestly why vision boards work so well, because they're a constant reinforcement of that new end result. So whatever it takes for you to be clear about your new end result, that's what you'll want to do. And just hold a clear mental picture, you know, of what you want. Again, if it's not in a vision board, some people like writing it out. But whatever it is, set rewards for yourself for the different steps that you're going to achieve. And so in that way, what you're doing, we could almost say you're keeping your mental energy in what it is you want beyond the stumbling blocks, so that you're not so caught up in the stumbling block as you are, okay, I can see beyond the challenge or the block. I can see that if I take my brief action steps every day, that I'll be getting on a roll and holding a structure that leads to my success. So, you know, this would be one way to help work with the outer child. And I think what happens, too, is we often feel powerless over certain urges in us. You know, we have a need that we need to have met, that kind of idea. But really, you're not powerless over your behavior. So, you know, don't ignore yourself, dismiss yourself, or especially this inner child who's the feeling state. You know, don't ignore that child, but know that her and his needs also should be met. So, you know, ask your adult self in this case, what can I do differently with regard to these old habits, and how can I integrate these three parts of myself? And I think once you get this, just every single day you wake up in the morning and you know your intention, or you set an intention at least, and just become committed to an action, you know, even if it takes only 5 minutes, that would bring you in contact with this envisioned goal. Okay? And I think, again, when you align these aspects of yourself, the outer child's impulsiveness becomes much less. You know, it's lessened. And you just keep committing to an action that is reassuring that the inner child's needs are being addressed, the outer child's kept in check, and the adult is in charge. And it sounds kind of crazy, but that is seriously how we say it works. I want to talk also for a minute about something that came up in the class that I think you'd find interesting. There is an author, Tara Brach, B-R-A-C-H, like the candy, and she had said there are four stages in growth, and I loved the way she said it. She said your first stage is a revolution. You know, you got to stage a revolution. Now, what does that look like? Well, you have to say to yourself, this is what I cannot do any longer. This is what I don't want to do, and I'm not doing it. And really, we do have times in our lives, especially when we're starting to change it all up, that we have to look at what we can no longer do. That's stage one, revolution. But then she says that after we've staged the revolution, then we stage an involution. Now, what's an involution? Well, you're going to go within. You're going to look closely at the inner child, and you're going to actually decide what it is you do want. If I don't want that, this is what I do want. And then the third phase is a necessary narcissistic phase. And I know that sounds weird, but we're not talking about a personality disorder here. She said, this is the phase where you say, you know what? I really love myself. I absolutely am worth it. I'm going to change things because I deserve to be loved, and I don't have to overfunction for other people and get approved by other people and all of that. And then she goes on to say, your fourth and final stage is called evolution. And with this stage, you're actually evolving, changing, new life is happening, and so on. And so it's really this idea that you have knowledge, you have awareness, but you're going to move it into action. You're going to actually, become wise. And really, your knowledge is not complete unless you're acting anyway on what you know. And we could also call that wisdom. So this is, again, what Tara Brach, her work, it's all about, which is, you know, the growth stages and how as you love yourself, you change things up, you do, in fact, evolve, which is very, very cool. So, you know, tips to succeed, well, you know, keep holding your future vision in mind, again, that future goal intention. Take your baby steps toward your goal. And just give yourself pats on the back as you progress. And as one client did, she had tiny little rewards here and there. And the rewards were consistent with exactly what she was looking to achieve. So we are going to take a break. It is time. And I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, go to dreamvision7radio.com. We'll be back soon for further tips on overcoming self-defeating beliefs and behaviors.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, International Life Coach and Energy Medicine Practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization, Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of The Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff Show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is overcoming self-defeating beliefs and behaviors, and here we go. Thanks for tuning in. So before getting into a self-sabotaging behavior that I mentioned early in the show I would be sure to talk about, which is that of worrying, I want to continue just a bit. Before the break, we were talking about tips to succeed. So we said, you know, keep your goal in mind, your intention, take baby steps. Give yourself rewards, little pats on the back. And most of all, strengthen this relationship again with your three aspects. Integrate. You've got this adult self who needs to be there within you, making sure that there's an objective observer. And then you've got the inner child whose feeling state needs to be attended to and nurtured, and the outer child whose behavior needs not to sabotage you and needs to be kept in check. And the outer child, it's believed, learns to respect actions when they are related to discipline overall and integration of those three aspects. Because it's believed that a strong adult self within you can make peace with the outer child, who ultimately, it's believed, does need and crave discipline. So in this way, you know, you have your own internal needs met, and there's a sense that motivation can come from this integration. So before, again, the idea of worrying, because this is what so many people do, I think if you think about it, worrying is just, we know, well, let me say this. What is worrying? All right, it's basically a waste of your time, and it's a waste of your energy, and it certainly can negatively impact or affect your health. So in the class, every person, and I had 12 people in this small group, every person felt like they had some level of difficulty in life with just basic worrying. So of all of the self-defeating beliefs and behaviors, we seem to feel, or they seem to feel, that worrying was one that they needed to really spend time on. So I figured if it works for them, maybe likewise to listeners, this might be an important one to discuss. So what is worrying? You know, I've likened worrying to running a low-grade fever of fear. It doesn't have any benefits, often doesn't manifest, hopefully, into a disease, you know, if you look at the analogy. But nonetheless, it's a waste. It's really a waste of your energy. So you would want to say, you know, are you a natural worrier? Is this something you have always tended to do? Because if you find yourself worrying more often, then you find yourself, you know, do you do that more than you find yourself feeling contented? Because a lot of times if that's the case, then you'll know like what level to which you this affects your life. And Einstein, in one of his famous quotes, said that each of us has an orientation to the world. And this orientation is that we'll either see the world as a friendly place or as an unfriendly place. And he suggests that this mindset that we hold affects everything in our lives. And I believe that that is in fact true. So is the world a friendly or an unfriendly place for you? That would be your question. And, you know, some people have told me, at least in that group, that they learned through childhood, especially if their family environment wasn't really safe, that having some kind of a hypervigilant strategy of worrying would keep bad things from happening. Now, we know that isn't true, but they felt like if they sort of worried enough, they could circumvent or not allow the thing to actually happen. Excuse me. And I can't tell you how many times clients mentioned this to me and have mentioned it, not only in that class, but in various coaching sessions, that this was a way they were brought up. So, you know, we know if that's the case that our thoughts are creating our reality. So if you're worrying, you're really giving energy to a possible negative outcome. And as some might say, you're even drawing the unhelpful circumstances to yourself. So I think it's, you know, rest assured we can say that worrying really doesn't provide any benefit. But what really happens about worrying, and this is critical when we look at behaviors and outcomes and so on, is that your worries and your fears actually limit you. Now, this is something most people don't understand, but this is the way that I have always understood it, and it's important, I think. Your worries and your fears filter your messages from your environment and from each other, and often cause you to make choices in which you don't actually reach your potential. So, you know, if I'm constantly feeling uneasy or overly concerned about a problem or a situation, workplace, family life, whatever, then my mind and body are going to go into overdrive as they focus on, you know, what would be called what might happen. So the tendency would be to focus on negative outcomes in an effort not to meet your worst fear. But, of course, this kind of focus actually can cause you to tune out the possibilities of a more successful outcome. So, you know, again, it's kind of giving you the opposite of what you're hoping for. And in addition to limiting, you know, the actual quality of your life, an even greater side effect of chronic worrying is that it can affect your daily life so much that your health will suffer. And you see, worrying doesn't just affect your mental health. It can affect your physical well-being because think of the concept of body-mind and how connected. It's like saying your body speaks your mind. So if I'm constantly worried or even worried most of the time, it can affect my physical well-being. It can interfere with your appetite, your body, your sleep patterns, your relationships, and really what would be called lifestyle performance. So once you accept this idea that worrying doesn't provide any benefits, then you've got to say to yourself, well, how can I practice a way to channel my energy into something more positive? So, you know, again, we're talking about beliefs and behaviors. So for starters, it's helpful to decide that everything that happens in your life is happening for a good reason. And believe it or not, it's believed that people who manifest well generally hold that everything that's happening is happening for a good reason. And some people, you know, hold what's called a symbolic view of life. So even though this one thing that happened yesterday may be difficult to accept, if they look at the more symbolic, greater view of their lives, they realize this is like a dot on the map of my life. And then they don't overly focus on a specific circumstance, but instead look at the bigger picture of the situation. You know, you remember to take the deep breath, think about the moment. And once you say, okay, it's a dot on the map of my life, you remind yourself that really everything is going to be okay. Because what do? You remember the times when you have succeeded, when things have gone well, rather than just focusing on a potential negative outcome. This is so, so important because you will tie up a tremendous amount of your life force when you're constantly focusing on negative outcomes or expecting, you know, negative outcomes. And just recognize and remember that no matter what happens, you're going to be able to handle it. Because really one of your greatest fears is you don't think you're going to be able to handle what comes. But yeah, you can, you always have, and you know that you can, and you know that you will. And then just start embracing life with a curiosity and a trust rather than that actual fear. So, you know, you have to, again, expect good things to come to you and value yourself. And this, in turn, will allow you to lead with a more positive attitude. So I'm going to quote Martha Washington, because we're going to close shortly on our session today. But Martha Washington is quoted as saying, "I have learned that the greater part of our misery and unhappiness is determined not by our circumstances, but by our disposition." Isn't that a wonderful quote? So how do we improve our disposition? I guess that's really what the question is. So, you know, as you go forward from today and you begin to focus on your overall behaviors, your beliefs, check in with your beliefs, decide which beliefs serve and do not serve you, because you can always change it now. You don't have to continue to believe in negative outcomes. And then make sure that your adult self is quote-unquote home, and in that way is helping to nurture the inner child and parent the outer child properly. So as we draw to a close on our show, I want to thank you so much for sharing your hearts with me in this hour, and I encourage you to visit my website at heartliving.com, my Facebook page, facebook.com/heartliving. And I have a program in April that you will find at my website, and this program is How to Live Mindfully in a Busy World, perfect for our topic today. So you can take new action, hold a positive view, and make your life worth living. So in closing, I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. You can listen to my show on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday, 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, Boston, and worldwide. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. And Dream Vision 7 radio network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thanks so much for listening. I truly wish you the very best.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.